Llewellyn King is joining us in the studio, and we are going to talk a little bit about something he's been writing about, which I wanted to touch on because, as he writes, to me there is something especially savage and cruel about deportations. Even if sanctioned by law, the unfettered power of the state and its officers moving against an individual is profoundly ugly, among the things Llewellyn has been writing. Llewellyn is the executive producer and host of White House Chronicle on PBS. It also airs on POTUS, and he is tweeting at Llewellyn King and the numeral 2. Llewellyn, welcome. Thanks for coming in this morning.
Good morning, Tim. Delighted to be here.
The idea, and you have seen this spectacle play out yourself. I mean, the idea, you saw it in, as you said, colonial Africa or South Africa, and it has... We have seen it in other places, too. Why is what you see as deportations, what exactly is so savage and cruel about them, do you think?
Well, whenever people with guns, with authority, representing the state, a large monolith, descend on an individual, any individual, it invokes all of the horrors of history, all of the things that have happened that we wish hadn't happened, all of man's, part probably of man's inhumanity to man. It is a very difficult issue. At this point in time, and it's not quite clear what we are gaining with deportations, except honoring a legal nicety. That is, that these people have come to the United States without permission. They've broken the law in doing so, but they are also part of a global movement of desperate people. People are flooding into Europe from North Africa illegally. People are flooding across Europe illegally. People are flooding all over the American and South American continent. I'll give you an example. About 2 to 3 million people, nobody really has accurate counts, had moved to Venezuela before the disastrous Chavez regime, which has brought it to its knees, and now his successor is completing the disaster. Before that, about 2 to 3 million people from other parts of South America had moved to Venezuela illegally, of course, trying to get a better life. Now they are again looking for somewhere to live and have moved out. People move under duress. People do not become migrants because they think it's a Sunday school picnic or a jolly fun or a souped-up vacation. It is a symbol of desperation. They are desperate people, and desperate people do desperate things. Once we have them here, and I'm not for unfettered immigration, far from it. You can get into a lot of trouble with it. You lose your culture, you lose your language, you lose your inheritance, as it were, your historical inheritance. But once they are here, once they are de facto Americans, whether we recognize it or not, it seems to me wantonly cruel to round them up and send them out of the country. There's an interesting aspect to it, too. Those who are criminals, and quite a few at the fringes, some at the fringes are, these are the ones who've come in 3 or 4 times. They know how to work the system. The great bulk, maybe 99.9% of the, we believe, 11 million illegal immigrants living in the United States are very law-abiding, very hard-working, very honest, and we need help. Yesterday I was at a meeting, a briefing on Capitol Hill, called by the Immigrant Tax Inquiry Group, which is out of California, trying to do something, use tax to solve the immigration standoff. And one of the people there said, we're going to need immigrants simply for population replenishment. Our birth rate is too low, and our population is aging. We need some young people in the workforce. So what are we going to do? Deport 11 million people so we can import 11 million people? It needs thinking out. A word about this group which put together the briefing on Capitol Hill that I attended. It was very interesting because their idea, and it's been really the work of one man, his name is Mark Jason. He's a former IRS agent, therefore he understands tax and he talks about tax. And he believes that one way to deal and diffuse the bitterness, the anger, and the polarization on the immigration issue is to tax working immigrants and give them a card that enables them to work legally, a work card, to tax them 5% of their earnings and to tax the employer 5% of the earnings. This would bring in, he calculates, over 10 years, $210 billion that could go to local communities that are so seriously impacted by illegal immigrants and could go to schools, policing, healthcare, community development, those kinds of things. It's a third way. It's a way of neither granting citizenship nor deportations, somewhere in the middle. And when you have polarized opinions, probably a good idea to look in the middle.
Yeah. And Llewellyn, one of the things about this, of course, we have the many issues. We have the legal issue. We have the issue of whether or not there is some sort of an underlying racism that's attached to it. We have the economic issue. I wonder, when you talk about this, I remember, you know, the stories, obviously it's history, I don't remember it, but the history of the United States rounding up Japanese Americans during World War II, saying, well, we got to be careful about security. So that's a concern, and a group of people. But I wonder if you see a similarity, or if you see it's actually a parallel where people are being turned away, deported at this country's borders, or deported once they cross the borders because they've broken the law. As that's different, is it not, from the wanton exile of individuals from countries, you know, kicking out the Jews from Germany, for example, sending them to Poland to concentration camps?
Well,
I mean, it's
yes,
not the same thing, right?
It's different, but only by degree. The law that is broken by illegals, as I understand it, is only a misdemeanor. It is not a felony to be here illegally. And most people who are here illegally are here because of desperate situations, either poverty, extreme poverty. I have traveled in much of the third world in Latin America. I grew up in Africa. And real poverty is something horrendous, really difficult for us to comprehend. And the other one is, particularly in Latin America, you have enormous number of countries that are very unsafe. And if you were in an unsafe country and starving, you might want to walk to a safe one. But please don't get the idea, and I wouldn't like listeners to get the idea, that all of the immigrants are from Latin America. They teach more than 80 languages in the schools in Los Angeles. That means that immigrants are from all over the world. At the moment, I was told by a professor from Maryland University, who himself is a first-generation Indian, he said that today the majority of new illegals coming into the country are from Asia. They are not coming across the southern border. They were at one time. People are coming here on all sorts of ways. Some are coming by boat. Some are coming quite legitimately with a tourist visa and just not going home. Others come with an education visa and don't go home. The sad thing is those who are really law-abiding, really gifted, when their visas, if they say at one of the great universities, when their visas expire, we send them home. Not forcibly, they just know they have to go home. And yet we've given them our talent, we've given them our know-how, and we send them back so they can be our competitors. That's just not a very good business deal. The whole issue of immigration needs a new look. But if we could just fix some of it, get some of the inhumanity out of it, it would be a beginning. We are going to need more people in the future. We're going to need certainly more skilled labor. And we're going to need more taxpayers as we get old, Tim. And you know, Tim, even you are going to get old.
I am, as a matter of fact. And one of the points you're making, the economic point, has been seen graphically by Japan, for example, which has an aging population, which is a closed society, by the way. And as a result of that, they find that their aging population is outstripping the ability to take care of that aging population because they, too, do not have enough young people. China seeing the same thing. Their one-child policy is starting to be an issue for them with the number of people who are getting older. The one thing I guess we can always take from this, Llewellyn, is we're a country that people are trying to get into as opposed to trying to get out
of. Well, that's right. And that's says something very good about us. I think we also should never forget that we are a country of immigrants. And I myself am an immigrant and very glad of it. And I'm very grateful to this country and revel in my citizenship.
Yeah. Well, we are glad that you were able to make it through and sneaking in the dead of night as you did to make it by going across the ocean, swimming across the Atlantic.
Oh, Timothy, you said you'd never tell.
statute of limitations is up, I think, on this one, Llewellyn. Anyway, thanks for coming in.
All the best. Cheers, Tim.
All right. Llewellyn King, executive producer, host of White House Chronicle on PBS. Check out the piece, A Third Way on Immigration Proposed by Tax Expert. That's what we were quoting from as we discussed the issue this morning. Llewellyn is tweeting at Llewellyn King, too. That is Llewellyn, L-L-E-W-E-L-L-Y-N, King, and the numeral 2.